The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive me my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Please do take a seat. Really good to see you this morning. As Dave said, my name's Johnny. Lovely to see you if you're visiting. Really good that you're able to be with us this morning. Why don't you grab one of the blue Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 1. It's on page 3. We'll be dipping into that. And then we will also have a look at Psalm 19 as well. The video we watched earlier asked the question, what's the best gift God could give you? What's the best gift God could give you? So why don't we take just a moment to think about our answer to that question. What's the best gift God could give you? What's the best gift God could give you? We'll come back to our answers to that question in a few minutes. But Blaise Pascal, the 17th century scientist, said this: human beings are the glory and the garbage of the universe. Human beings are the glory and the garbage of the universe. And the glory is easy to see, isn't it? We tell jokes, we write poems, we score goals, we make music, we make babies, we build skyscrapers, we cure diseases. The glory is easy to see. But the garbage is easy to see too. We break promises. We tell lies. We murder. We exploit. We cheat and we abuse. With the same hands, human beings create wonder and cause unimaginable pain. It's like there's this cocktail of glory and garbage shaken up together inside each and every one of us. It's inside me. It's inside you. Glory and garbage. And the first book of the Bible, Genesis, it helps us to understand both the glory and the garbage. So there's the glory. Human beings are glorious. And we're glorious because we've been created by a gloriously good God. In Genesis chapter 1, the word good is used 7 times. And the word good is used to describe everything that God creates. The light, the sky, the land, the sea, plants and trees and fruits, the sun and the moon and the stars, birds and fish and animals and human beings. The God of the Bible is good, and everything he created was good. Have a look, if you've got your Bible open, at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You see, we're asking the question this morning, is God good? And the answer according to Genesis chapter 1 is yes. God is good. Only a good God can create a good world. And this good God, he created human beings, and he put human beings in charge of his creation. He told them to be fruitful and increase in number. He told them to fill the earth and subdue it. God gave human beings a gift. God gave human beings the world. What a gift. What a God. God gifted human beings the world. But in the Bible, the word good is also used when someone finds someone or something lovely. And so when God saw all that he had made, and especially human beings, and when they're described as very good, what that means is God found them lovely. I don't think it's a stretch to say that the relationship between God and humanity was like love at first sight. God loves his creation. God loves his creatures. In Genesis chapter 1, when God looks at human beings, the first man and the first woman, he says, "You're glorious. You're gloriously good." Now, stick with me here. The God of the Bible is triune, three in one. There's one God in three persons. And Genesis chapter 1 hints at that. Turn back to Genesis 1 verse 2. If you look at that verse, there's a reference to the Spirit of God. And then Genesis 1 verse 26, God refers to himself in the plural. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." The God of the Bible is triune, three in one. There's one God in three persons. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they love each other. And that's important. Because what that means is that love isn't something that God does. Love is something that God is. Love defines God. The Bible says that God is love. But that's important for another reason too, because what that means is that God didn't need to create. God doesn't need the creation. He doesn't need the creation to love him. He doesn't need the creation to love, because God is already love. God is love, and from all eternity, the Father has loved the Son, and the Son has loved the Father, and they've loved the Spirit, and vice versa. God, if you like, in a very positive way, is a love triangle. And God didn't need to create. God wanted to create. And God wanted to create so that he could share his love. He wanted human beings to enter his love. That's partly what it means to be created in the image of God. And Genesis 1 says that again and again and again. That phrase appears in verse 26. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." And that phrase appears in verse 27 twice. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. The point is being emphasized. And part of the point is human beings were created to love like God. To love the creation, to love his creatures, other people, to love their creator. Human beings were created to enter God's love. Now for a moment, just think of that question again. What's the best gift God could give you? What's the best gift God could give you? I don't know how you answered that question. But the gifts that God gives are never as good as the giver himself. The gifts are good, but the giver is really good. Maybe when you thought about that question, you thought about family, or sex, or sport, or friendship, or holidays, or achievements. And all those things are good. God gave us the world, and the world is good. But the greatest gift God could give someone, the greatest gift God can give me or you, is himself. The gifts may be good, but the giver is very good. God is gloriously good, and human beings were created for him. The Westminster Shorter Catechism is a summary of core Christian beliefs. And it comes in the form of questions and answers. And the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? Chief end of man and woman. And their answer to the question is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To enjoy God forever. You and I, we were created to enjoy God. And when we say that we were created to enjoy God, what we mean is we were created to enjoy his presence. and his personality and his perfections. We were made to savor and treasure and relish God. We were made to know him like you can know a good friend, except that we're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. We were made to enjoy God. And maybe that all sounds a bit weird to you. Perhaps you think that the God of the Bible is boring, but if that's you, you couldn't be any further from the truth. The God of Genesis chapter 1 is thrilling. He created everything out of nothing. He is eternal and infinite, and he loves us. He is trustworthy and generous. He liberates and he fulfills. The God of the Bible is good. He created us in his image to enter into his love, to be loved and to love. God gave us the world. That is very good. But God gives us himself. That's the greatest gift he has to offer. Do you see? God gave us the world. But better than giving us the world is God giving us himself. Being made in the image of God also means that we were created in his likeness. Literally, to image God, to reflect him. The Banqueting House in London is famous for its ceiling. The ceiling contains a number of paintings by an artist called Rubens, and the paintings are described as a unique masterpiece. But the problem with putting paintings on the ceiling is that it quite literally gives you a pain in the neck. And so what the Banqueting House have done is to put mirrors on top of trolleys, and you can push one of these trolleys around and you can look into the mirror and you can enjoy the paintings as much as you like. And in a similar kind of way, like mirrors, we were created to reflect God, to reflect his goodness and his love, to reflect him so that the whole world can enjoy him. Again, maybe that sounds a bit weird to you. Perhaps you think that Christianity and church is boring. Why would you want to sing hymns you can't follow in a building you don't like, wearing clothes you can't stand? Maybe that's how you think of Christianity in church, but again, you couldn't be any further from the truth. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about joy. The God of the Bible is full of joy. He wants us to be full of joy. And when we're full of joy, we get to reflect the Creator. And the way to fullness of joy is to enjoy God himself. Enjoy his gifts, yes. But enjoy the good giver. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy his personality. Enjoy his perfections. And when we do that, we really reflect God. Genesis chapter 1 also makes it clear that human beings are the only part of God's creation that are made in his image. If you like, we are God's unique masterpiece. Human beings are glorious. And we're glorious because we've been created by a gloriously good God. There's the glory. But there's also the garbage. Human beings are the glory and the garbage of the universe. Imagine you've just been to the Banqueting House, and you've pushed a trolley in the mirror, and you've enjoyed the paintings. But as you walk out of the Banqueting House, one of your friends turns and says to you, "That trolley and that mirror, weren't they amazing?" You'd have to say to them, "Well, yes, the trolley and the mirror were good, but they were only good because they reflected the ceiling. It's the ceiling and the paintings, that's what's really amazing. The whole point of those trolleys and those mirrors isn't to draw attention to themselves, but to reflect the paintings on the ceiling." And in a similar kind of way, like mirrors, we were created to reflect God, to reflect his goodness and his love. But we don't really do that. We prefer to draw attention to ourselves. One early Christian writer, a man called Augustine, wrote that human beings are curved in on themselves. We're like mirrors that should point upwards and outwards, but instead we're focused downwards and inwards. We don't reflect the goodness and love of God. Actually, we want to take his gifts and reject and ignore him, the giver. Or to put it another way, we worship idols. We don't worship God. We worship idols. Again, I know that sounds a bit weird. But the Bible says all of us worship something. Whatever our hearts cling to or rely upon, that's our God. That's where we're looking for meaning and purpose. If we're like mirrors, we can't reflect nothing. We will always reflect something, and we'll reflect what we cling to, what we rely upon. The reason our world isn't the good world of Genesis chapter 1, the reason there's garbage as well as glory, is because we want the gifts, but we don't want the giver. Instead of entering into God's love, we've exited out of God's love. Our hearts love the creation, but we don't love the Creator. We love ourselves. We don't love God. And when human beings love like that, it's not good, it's very bad. It's like taking a priceless violin and using it to bang in tent pegs. That's not what a priceless violin was made for. It will go badly wrong. In the same way, human beings weren't made to love themselves. We were made to love God, to love his creatures, other people, and to love his creation. When we don't love like that, it's bad. Blaise Pascal, the 17th century scientist, said, "Human beings are the glory and the garbage of the universe." And King David, who lived 1,000 years or so before Jesus Christ, he said something very similar in Psalm 19. So why don't you turn to Psalm 19? We're going to have a very brief look at this psalm. It's on page 552 of these blue Bibles, Psalm 19. In verses 1 to 6 of this psalm, King David says, basically, when you look out there at the world, you can see the goodness of God. Have a look at verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." The heavens and the skies are glorious. And that's because they've been created by a glorious God. Every time the sun rises and there's light, every time the sun sets and there's colour, that tells us God is glorious. Only a gloriously good God can create a gloriously good world. And according to verse 2, that message is told day after day, night after night. According to verse 4, everyone everywhere can see something of the goodness of God. The voice of creation goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. Even here in Emerson's Green, when we look out there at the world, we can see something of the glory and the goodness of God. That's verses 1 to 6. And then in verses 7 to 11, King David says, when you look in here at the Word, at the Bible, you can hear the goodness of God. In these verses, King David refers to the law of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord and to his precepts and his commands and his decrees. In other words, David is referring to the Bible, what Christians sometimes call the Word of God. Have a look down at those verses, verses 7 to 11. See how David describes the Word. In verse 7, he says it's perfect, trustworthy. In verse 8, he says it's right and radiant. In verse 9, he says it's pure and it endures forever and it's firm and righteous. And if you're someone who thinks the Bible is boring, David says to you, no way, you haven't understood. In verse 10, he says, this book is more precious than gold. And this book, the Word of God, it refreshes my soul. It gives joy to my heart and light to my eyes. It's not boring. If you think that, you've misunderstood. King David says, the Word of God is good. The Word of God is good. And the reason the Word of God is good is because the God of the Word is good. According to Genesis chapter 1, the author wants to say God is good. And according to Psalm 19, King David wants to say God is good. But in Psalm 19, King David wants to also say human beings are not good. They're the garbage as well as the glory of the universe. In verse 12, David refers to his errors and to his faults. He calls them his hidden faults. King David knows that he can hide his thoughts and feelings from other people, but actually God gets to see it all. God sees the pride and anger, the lust and dishonesty and envy. God sees it all. He sees the glory and the garbage. In verse 13, David refers to his willful sins. In verse 14, David refers to great transgression. And David was a great transgressor. He committed adultery with a woman called Bathsheba. He had her husband, a man called Uriah, killed. David knows as he writes this psalm, I'm not good. Not good like God is good. Inside me there's this cocktail of glory and garbage. And we can relate to that. But as we finish, have a look at the last verse of Psalm 19. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And then look at what he calls the Lord, my rock and my redeemer. At the beginning of Psalm 19, David calls God the creator. At the end of Psalm 19, David calls God the redeemer. Or actually, he doesn't just call God the redeemer, he calls God my redeemer. God is my rescuer. God has and God will rescue me from the garbage. 1,000 years after King David lived, Jesus Christ was born. And Jesus Christ lived and died for people like King David and for people like us. The greatest gift God could give us is himself. And this triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, that's what he did. The Father gave us his Son, the Son he had loved for all eternity, his one and only Son. And the Son, he gave us himself, his life, everything. Jesus Christ gave his life to redeem people like us, to pay the price so that we could be forgiven. God is love. And you see that in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. But Jesus Christ can be our Redeemer too, my Redeemer, your Redeemer, if we turn and trust in him. The God of the Bible is gloriously good, yes. The God of the Bible is gloriously gracious. People who have exited his love can enter his love again. Anyone can enjoy his presence, enjoy his personality, enjoy his perfections. Whatever the garbage inside me and whatever the garbage inside you, there is a gift on offer, God himself, forgiveness from him, friendship with him.